I think he had, may have had a Dalek rug on the floor as well. And he had this big cabinet on the wall with a glass front. And at the time, there wasn't much Doctor Who merchandise available, but it was full of old, classic Doctor Who merchandise and bits of this and that. Right in the middle was this pair of Tom Baker 1970s Y-fronts. I don't know if you remember it. They sort of had brown piping around the outside. Come on, I know some of you have them. And his face right in the middle. Anyway, so I was very impressed by this wall of merchandise. And I read through the speech again, and then John gave me a couple of notes, and I read the speech again. And I must have been in there, what, 10 minutes? And that was it. Went back up to Manchester. And then a couple of, maybe a little while later, I can't remember when, but I got into the theatre that evening. Of course, this is 1987, remember, no mobile phones. I didn't even have a phone in the flat that I was staying in. Can you imagine that, kids? No mobiles, no phone. What did I do all day? Anyway, I'd been out and about in Manchester, and I arrived at the theatre at the stage door, and there was a notice board for all the actors, and it notes plastered all over this notice board. Ring your agent, Sophie, ring your agent. The notes were getting bigger and bigger with more and more exclamation marks. Anyway, I thought, well, I haven't got time to now because I had to go and get my costume on, go on stage, do the first number, which was tradition, you know, that one. And then I came off after that, went to the phone box at the back of the stage door with a handful of 10p's. Remember that? And, you know, put a few 10p's in, rang my agent, and she was a bit cross, and she said, Sophie, where have you been? I've been trying to get hold of you. And I thought, oh, what have I done now? And she said, you've got the part, she said rather crossly, but it's a lot more complicated. I'm going to have to call you back. So I'm there in my costume, like a peasant, sort of Russian-y, peasant-y woman, and there's this phone call back from her, and she said, well, they want you to do the three episodes, but they want to know whether you'd be interested in taking over as Doctor Who's assistant, because Bonnie Langford's thinking of leaving. And I'm like, what are you on about? What, this is bizarre. I'd never even been in front of a TV camera. I'd not done a screen test, and there they were offering me this amazing job. So, of course, once I picked myself up off the floor, I said, yes, please. And I came out of the phone box, and the first person who I saw there was the guy playing the rabbi in our production of Doctor Who, in production of Fiddler on the Roof. He's in full costume, and I went up to him and I said, John, I got the part. And he reached inside his costume, and he took out this BBC publicity postcard. Now, this guy, John Scott Martin, had been doing stuff on Doctor Who for years and years. He'd been inside Daleks, he'd been inside Zombies, he'd been doing all sorts, and we'd been joking to him about Doctor Who. He handed me this postcard, and it had a picture of three Daleks on the front, and I turned it over, and on the back it said, Dear Sophie, welcome to the family. You will not be exterminated. And that was my beginning. And then the funniest thing was, the next scene was the gossip scene. And in the musical, everyone runs on stage and there's this new sewing machine that's arrived in the village. And everybody's talking about it. And so we're all going, we run on. I'm like dazed like this, I don't quite know what's going on. And everyone's going, have you heard, have you heard? And usually everybody's ad-libbing and going, have you heard the new sewing machine? This night, okay, I rush on stage with everyone else. Everyone's going, have you heard, have you heard? Sophie's got the part in Doctor Who. Sophie's got the part in Doctor Who. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? Anyway, then Topol enters stage left, walks to the front of the stage and is meant to have a conversation with one of the chorus members about the sewing machine. This night, he comes and walks downstage, crosses the stage, finds me in the chorus, throws his arms around me and says,
well done, Sophie.
And then walks back across the stage and carries on with the show. What the audience made of that, I do not know. But it was brilliant fun.
And could you go public with that information straight away, or did you have to kind of keep it under wraps for a while?
I think nobody said anything. Because don't forget, 1987, Doctor Who was on the wane, sadly. Even though we were getting, 7-8 million viewing figures, but that was considered to be not very good in those days. So nobody said anything to me about that. And I remember telling my friends, and they all just thought it was funny, which is great, because it kept my feet firmly on the ground. I mean, it was great, it was brilliant. And then people did start wanting to kind of interview me and things like that. And the very first big press thing I did was John Nathan Turner said, I've got a friend who runs his DJ on Radio Sussex, which was his local radio station. So could you go down there and do an interview with him? So down I went and did this interview on Radio Sussex. And the DJ, who was a bit of a fan of the programme, said, there just happens to be a science fiction fair in one of the hotels in Brighton. Let's go there and I'll just tell everybody about that you're Doctor Who's girl. I said, well, all right, okay. So we went along and it was like a Comic-Con. It was my first ever kind of like involvement in Comic-Cons or conventions or anything. I didn't know anything about that whole world. So I walk into this place and it's mainly books and comics, actually. So lots of science fiction books and comics. And he took me round all these people who were on their stalls and stuff, and he said, I'd like to introduce you to Sophie Aldred. She's the new Doctor Who companion. And everyone just went, yeah, right, yeah. Poor guy, poor deluded guy. I think they thought we were some fans who were kind of like, you know, had this story. So I just stood there most of the day going, oh, this is not awkward at all. But anyway, years later, there was a guy who was showing us around as well. He kind of like chatted away and stuff. And he was one of the people who was actually at this science fiction fair. Years later, somebody told me, oh yeah, well you've met Neil Gaiman before because he was the guy who showed you around this science fiction fair. And lo and behold, I went to meet him at a talk he was giving at Edinburgh at the book festival, and afterwards I went to meet up with him, and I thought, is this right? Would it be Neil Gaiman? And the first thing he said to me was, "Remember Brighton when I showed you around the?" So I thought, oh yeah, it was Neil Gaiman. How amazing is that? So there you go.
So did you watch Doctor Who? You know, when you were younger, and were you aware of Sylvester and his work?
I definitely watched Doctor Who when I was growing up. Who didn't, let's face it, in the... it must have been the early 70s, I think, before I was allowed to watch it. I remember being terrified of Cybermen. May have been... probably not Tomb of the Cybermen, but not... long after that, probably, I don't know, what's a 1970s, early 70s Cyberman story? Probably one of those. Which one, do you think?
Revenge
of the Cybermen. Okay, it was probably something like that. Did they have the... because I remember those horrible voices, you know, where their mouths clicked open. They sort of sounded like that, didn't they? And I remember being terrified because they were humanoid. I think the Daleks didn't bother me so much because they were Pepper Potts, but the Cybermen actually looked like humans who'd gone a bit wrong. So that terrified me, and my mum stopped me watching it for a while. But I remember very clearly watching John Pertwee and Katie Manning. And I used to just... I was sort of a bit in love with Katie Manning. She was so kind of... cuddly and gorgeous and really, really sweet. I really loved her character. And now I was thinking about this the other day. I thought, wow, if I could tell my little self that I would one day be a really great friend of Jo Grant? I bet, would that be like? Because she really is. She's a very good friend of mine. And then, of course, I remember the amazing Liz Sladen, Sarah Jane. I loved her character. And I also remember when John Pertwee regenerated. And I knew about it because my mum... Oh, hello.
Ladies and gentlemen, yes. Your attention, please. Okay. This is a customer announcement.
Right, okay.
Could Emma Hughes. Please report to the reception desk, located on the ground floor at the front of the building by the main entry doors. Right. Thank you.
Thank you for interrupting my panel. How pleasant. Okay. Anyone called Emma Hughes here? No? Okay. So, yes, where was I? Yes, so I remember when John Pertwee regenerated into Tom Baker because my mum read it to me from the paper and she said, oh, by the way, there's going to be a new actor who's going to be playing Doctor Who. I was outraged. Furious. What? What is going to happen to John Pertwee? What do you mean another actor's going to play? He'll be rubbish! Tom Baker, who's he? Which shows how right I was. So then, of course, I fell in love with Tom as well, and Liz Sladen. And I remember when I got Doctor Who, Nathan Turner said to me, I've got some videos here. I thought, oh, okay. And it was very unusual in those days to have videos, wasn't it, of Doctor Who, of the classic series, because videos really had just only come in and people weren't take... To have a video of John Pertwee and the Green Death, that was pretty amazing. He said, would you like to borrow any for research? I said, yeah, I'd love to do some research. So I took an unearthly child because that was useful for remembrance with the diary, which was wrong anyway, and sitting on the desk and stuff. And I wanted to sort of emulate, I was meant to be emulating Susan, which didn't quite work, but there you go. And then he said, do you want to borrow any others? I thought, oh, the Green Death rings a bell. So it's great. I just took them home, and me and my flatmates watched Doctor Who. It was fantastic. So that was all for very good research purposes. So, yeah, I did watch Doctor Who. I wouldn't have called myself a fan, like I know fans to be, but I just loved it, yeah. And what a thrill to be suddenly going to be in it.
And you mentioned Liz Sladen there. I mean, circumstance obviously changed plans, but... the plan was that Ace was going to appear with Sarah Jane, wasn't she?
Yes, Ace was going to be the next guest to be on the Sarah Jane Adventures. And I know this because I did an interview for Doctor Who magazine with Benjamin Cook, who knows Russell T Davies very well. And we sat down for our meal and the interview. And Benjamin said, oh, by the way, Russell T Davies says to say hello. I was emailing him last night, and he said, please thank Sophie, because she's always so great about the new series and talking about how she watches it with her family and so on. And he said, tell her that she was going to be the next guest in the Sarah Jane Adventures. I was just amazed. And he said, not only that, but he had an idea for how she was going to be introduced. So what was going to happen was, you were going to see this sports car drive up to the front of Sarah Jane's house, and you'd see a close-up of the door of the sports car opening, and these legs in high heels and a suit would get out, and then you'd see the back view of this person going up to the front door, and then it would turn to Sarah Jane's POV as she opens the door. And it's me, but it's me as I am now, obviously, in this business suit with all hair and makeup. And then, of course, you know, the audience would know, well, hang on a minute, that's Ace. But Sarah Jane wouldn't know that. So she'd be like, you know, oh, how'd you do? And so Ace would be coming presumably to ask for Sarah Jane's help. And he said, but don't worry, because soon she'd be kicking off her high heels, getting her Doc Martens back on, and beating up Daleks with baseball bats. So sadly, that was not to be. And I think for me, personally, the sadness really is that although I knew Liz well from conventions, and we worked together a lot at conventions, and in fact, she was my go-to person for any questions about fees or what I should be signing, or she was very good at the business side of conventions and so on. My sadness was that I never got to work with her, because that would have just been awesome to have one of my childhood heroes to actually be appearing on screen with her. So that sadly that was not to be. But I was just very delighted that that was in Russell T. Davies' mind.
Right, I better have some questions from the audience, don't we, really? For the me hogging it all.
Well, I don't know, I do go on a bit, sorry about that.
Okay, yeah. He can't work the mic, look at him, bless it. There we go.
Yes, it's on, Justin.
Okay, all good. So you've done a lot of work with Big Finish as well. If because of the fact that audio gives you kind of a chance to maybe tell stories that you couldn't do as much visually, is there any story that haven't yet told that you would kind of love to be able to do some through audio?
Oh wow, that's a tricky one. Because I'm the first to admit I'm not the kind of creative side, so I'm just the basically the monkey who learns the lines or reads the lines and brings it to life. I'm always delighted when I receive a Big Finish script, because I'm constantly amazed that after, how long is it? It will be, is it 30 years next year? 30 years next March, I think, since I got the part of Ace. And since then, they've never ceased to amaze me with what they've come up with, these writers, for Ace to do. And I, just as I think, well, there's nothing else possibly that Ace could do. You know, she falls in love, she dies, she comes back to life, she just like she beats things up, she gets cross, she gets furious with the doctor, she sees her friends die, everything. And just as I think, well, there's nothing else for her possibly that they can think of for her to do, they come up with another script that I think, oh, this is great, I can't wait to get my teeth into it. I always love the historical ones, and I also love it when, I've really enjoyed doing the recent ones with Bonnie. Getting back together with her was great, and it was quite funny because the director, as you can imagine, the director had to just keep, we need to actually record something now, rather than us two just talking to each other. But it was a delight, because there was me in the sound booth in the middle, and there's Sylvester on one side in his little booth, and Bonnie on the other in hers, and I can't remember when it was exactly, but she had one of those glorious moments where, you know, when you find something really funny and you just can't stop laughing. It was just one of those moments, and she in particular was absolutely crying with laughter, howling with laughter. And it was great because the more she laughed, and Sylvester over here, he was going, what's going on? And we were just laughing away. It was just a joy to work with her.
You do a lot of voice work and stuff as well, don't you? So I guess you're in the booth quite a lot. Were you mucking Bob the Builder, or you do Tree Food Tom and, you know, a lot of kids' TV stuff? How's that?
I do a lot of kids' TV, yes. I love it. I do lots of voice work. It's funny because I went up for Muck the Digger, but it's not the UK version, it's the American version. And I just finished doing Dennis the Menace. And Dennis had this voice which really kind of, he talked like this, come on, Nasha, let's go! And you can imagine after sort of 7 hours of just shouting into a microphone like that, that it gets quite wearing. So I went and did this voice for Muck, and I wasn't sure how to do muck. They wanted her to be a girl, but a sort of tomboy girl. I can't even remember the voice now, but it's something. It was very rasping anyway. And I came away from the audition and I said to a friend of mine, I was picking up the boys at school, and she said, oh, what have you been doing today? I said, oh, I've got a really sore throat because I've been doing this audition for muck. She said, oh, you're bound to get it because you always get the ones where you say it's damaging your throat. And sure enough, I got that one. And then I do, well, Tree Fu Tom, yes. Tree Fu Tom is a great one that I love doing. But I, in fact, Tom is all right. He's a bit boring sometimes, though, because I'm a boy hero. I'm called Tree Fu Tom. Tree Fu Go! So he's all being really gung-ho and like that. But the ones I really like are, I like Dilly Puffy, because she's very naughty, you fungal bungle. She gets very cross about things, so she's the baddie. And then I've just recently done a voice last year for the new series of Tree Fu Tom, which is, she's called Raquette. And she's Rickety the Spider's granddaughter. And we were going through voices, because when you go in and you have a new character, you kind of go through a few and you've tried some voices out, and then the people, the production team go, oh yeah, that's good, or could you do it a bit more like that, or what do you think of this? Now, Rickety was established as a sort of northern character. So, but she had a little bobble hat and a little scarf, and her nose was a little bit red.
So I thought she should sound like that, a bit as an idol, like she's got a bit of cold, you know. But she's lovely, Racket. I really like doing her. She's lovely.
So, yeah, I can't remember what your question was, but anyway, hope that answered it.
That was brilliant, yeah. Okay, next question. Yeah.
Oh, that would be great, wouldn't it? A Strangeness in Space Doctor Who mashup. Yeah, brilliant. Well, if you listen to episode 4, there's a little bit at the end which you might find very interesting. And we're going to pursue that. For those of you, does anyone not know what Strangeness in Space is? I've been going on about it for all day, really. Some people don't. Well, I shall bore the rest of you completely. It's a podcast that I've done with Trev and Simon off of Going Live and Live and Kicking. And they're the ones who used to swing their pants in space swing their pants on a Saturday morning in a singing corner. And Trev and Simon and I were all at university together. And Claire Eden, who's our producer, was also there. And she thought it would be a great idea to bring us all together and to do something together. So we had this idea of doing a podcast, and Trev and Simon wrote these scripts, and we also managed to get Barnaby Edwards, who's from Doctor Who, and Dhu McKeegan, who was also at Manchester with us, who's Smack the Pony and Toast more recently, and she's very funny. She's a very good friend of ours. She plays our mad narrator called Bounty Flightingale, who's off a rocker. And this wonderful cast of people, Rufus Hound's been in it, Alexi Sale's been in it, we're looking for... Well, next week we're starting crowdfunding for our final two episodes in the series, series 5 and 6. And this is going to continue from episode 4, because we're stuck in space in this spaceship, trying to get back to Earth. And in episode 4, Sophie, my character, is a bit fed up with the whole thing. And at the end of the episode, something happens about her dad and stuff. So we're going to pursue that in some way. I don't even know, because Trevor and Simon, they're kind of writing the scripts as we speak. So I have no idea what's going to happen. It's very exciting. And we're crowdfunding for that. I think we've got 5 or 6 days to go till that starts. We've got a whole load of new perks, and we got some new T-shirts, which are great. There's a Swing Your Pants T-shirt from the Singing Corner, and there's one which is Ace of Space, it says, which is like an Ace T-shirt. And then we've got all the kind of usual perks of, you know, have your name at the end of the credits and things like that. Really great. So keep an eye on my Twitter feed because I'll be tweeting about it, and it'd be fantastic to have your support. I know we've already got some very loyal supporters in the audience here, so thank you for that.
They're after the bake-off job, aren't they, Trevor and Simon?
Oh, that would be funny, wouldn't it? It'd be great.
OK, we've got time for one more then, so get this guy in.
If you had to pick your favourite Doctor Who episode, what would it be and why?
Oh my goodness, that's such a hard one, because from the whole history of Doctor Who, well, The Green Death I'm obviously very fond of, because that was one of the first ones I remember. The Talons of Wayne Chiang I remember as being a brilliant one, and then of course it's now got this whole spin-off series on Big Finish of Jago and Lightfoot, which is brilliant. Check it out if you haven't heard those. I think from our era, my favourite story that we did was The Curse of Fenric. And for me, that was just, I mean, what a brilliant idea. Mixing up the Second World War, vampires, Viking mythology, Ace's background, the Doctor manipulates Ace, she gets really, I had such a lot to do in that episode, it was fantastic. So I was being emotional, I was being chucked into the sea, I was doing all sorts of stuff. Oh yeah, covered in mud. I loved it, it was great. That was really good. And then I would say, I don't know, New Who, Blink, I loved. The one with the gas mask. Talking of which, when the boys were younger, we didn't really let them watch Doctor Who. And my husband and I would record them and save them up to watch till they'd gone to bed. So we're watching, what's it called, that one? Yeah, The Empty Child. So we're watching this, and we're getting serious. Children don't find it scary, do they, to see scary children? Adults, we find it well scary. It's like Remembrance of the Daleks, isn't it? It's like Jazz's character in that, the spooky child there. So anyway, we're watching, and the gas mask and all this, and are you my mummy? Anyway, we're getting serious. It's dark outside, pitch dark, and we're just in the living room like this. And then suddenly, we can hear a little voice. So my husband says, you go, you go. So I walk out of the living room, and it's pitch dark, but just silhouetted against the window at the top of the stairs, which is kind of dark, but I can see this silhouette at the top of the stairs, and it's my little William. And he's saying, Mommy! Mommy! And I really had to force myself to walk up those stairs. So that's the power of Doctor Who for me.
Well, unfortunately, and I'm sure like me, you could sit here all afternoon and chat to Sophie, but we have run out of time. So please put your hands together once again for Sophie Aldridge.